welcome to the Bates Motel After Show, Season 4, Episode 6, The Vault. This episode, we find out what happens to Norma when she's backed into a corner. And a prediction from a fan that will have you flipping the script.
That's it. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I mean, you know.
Confessions.
Gotta love it when Flip dances.
It's so good.
So good.
So she's got one
so
on
much
the
lip fighting.
So much.
So much.
Welcome to the AfterBuzz.
It's bruised afterwards. It hurts so much.
Welcome to the AfterBuzz After Show.
Are you Joe Braswell?
I'm Joe Braswell.
Are you joined by the lovely duo Casey?
Hey, do it, you do it.
I'm still recovering from that one.
Welcome to the AfterBuzz After Show. I'm Joe Braswell. We are here for episode 6 of season 4. I'm joined as always by the lovely duo Casey.
Hi guys, welcome.
And I also joined by the lovely Joe Sanfilippo.
It's nice to be here with you guys.
And I'm also joined by the lovely Julia Carroll.
That's me.
Hi. And we're also joined by Usher talking about confessions. Which, by the way, why does he want you to feel bad? His biggest dilemma in this song is that his chick on the side is pregnant. Now what's he gonna do? He's got the one chick, but his chick's on the side is pregnant. I'm Usher. I've got tons of problems.
He does. He's just loaded with problems.
And in part one, he talked about the girl he was messing around with. In part two, she's pregnant.
Boom!
What happens in part three?
I don't know. I ain't a part three yet, but stay tuned. Anyway, confessions. We speak confessions because there's a lot of confessions made in this episode of Bates Motel. I'm sorry, I went on an Usher rant, but that's what that was. Thank you all for joining us on YouTube. Hello, all you guys on YouTube and on iTunes for listening to us. And we appreciate you guys. And if you're on iTunes, thank you for rating us and checking us out there on YouTube. I don't have it up yet, but I'm sure you guys are there. I'll shout you guys out as you're watching us live. We're here, and sweet intro, Dua. That was sweet.
Oh, guys. Well, what happened is you messed me up because I thought that you were making a face. And so I thought, I was like, I wonder if he's going to take it over. So then I stopped and I paused because I thought you were going to kind of swoop in.
No.
I'm real sorry, guys. First day on the job.
I messed
first
up
day.
Sick, so I just have to have someone to give shit.
Thanks for talking about the elephant in the room, Joe.
Anyway, we have sort of an interesting episode, and I'm a little upset about this because
what are you upset about?
Well, this
do you need a hug?
Yeah, I do.
Dua, give him a hug, would you?
Dua,
I'll give him
a light. That's all I get.
I completely didn't do my job, and this episode was directed by Nestor Carbonell, our good friend.
Yes, and we were supposed to contact him.
Somebody's asleep at the wheel over here.
For it to come in for the episode he directed. But I think he directs two this season.
I think so. I think he said contractually obligated. He got two this year,
that
right?
What happened?
And his contract said two, didn't it?
Yes. I don't know. I didn't see the contract.
No, you didn't say anything to him.
You saw him.
I was working at the same. He and I were recording in the same studio last week, and I didn't say anything either. So,
but did you speak? You spoke to him.
Yeah, we spoke, and then they were ready for me, and they were ready for him.
Did Nestor remember you?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And he said to say hi to you guys, and then we took a picture. I sent it to you guys.
Yeah. Are you making this up, or did this happen?
No,
I sent you a picture.
No, you sent us a picture. She wasn't on the thread.
What?
Yeah.
I'll send you. I'll show it to you.
Okay.
Send out to everyone.
Oh well.
Yeah. As we have our internal conversation.
Yeah, I'll send it out later. We ran into each other at the same studio, and he was like, "Oh my God, you gotta say hi to the girls and Joe for me." Well, not the girls because she has no.
I haven't met him yet.
But he said, you know, and I he said, "How's the show? Everything's great. We love your show." He goes, "Oh, this season, man, it's insanity." I was like, "Yeah," and then they called me and they called him. We had to leave. So,
how nice is that guy?
Yeah, he's so nice.
The best. He's just the nicest guy in town.
It's so hard to find really sincere people in this business, but
tell me
he
about
is
it.
One.
Whoa!
Throwing things
I'm
in the studio.
Kidding. No, so I messed up. We'll get Nestor. We'll get you in here. I promise you, we'll get you in. And one of us will sit on the couch. I know who it'll be, and probably Joe Flippo.
Damn it!
And Nestor will sit right here, and we'll figure it all out.
I'm gonna put him right here, right in between us.
Yes, exactly. It'll be a nice little sandwich.
But there was like it.
There was some nice
head on his shoulder.
I mentioned that because there were some nice touches. There were some nice visual touches in here. Some nice acting touches in here. And
it's
very good. Go ahead, Joe.
Can I just say
what you want to say? Do it.
Where are we going?
With what?
That's Nestor's. That's the in line. Where are we going?
Oh, yeah.
Where we go? That's the best line ever.
That was a smooth move.
Extremely.
Pack your bags.
Yeah. It was
where are we going?
It is well.
Oh,
I liked about this episode.
That Julia would gush about that, not you, Flippo. Oh.
You know what? I was at home. I'm watching this late at night, and I'm literally like, I dropped it. I'm like, fuck you. That was amazing. That's an amazing line. I was like, that's.
I mean, I was all prepared to gush, as you can see my love with a heart on it.
Did I preempt your gush?
You did, but that's fine. Ah. You can gush. Gush away.
Anyway, that was amazing. That's an amazing line.
Well, on this episode, both Carlton and Carrie got credits for writing this episode. So we have the A-team writing this episode, and with Nestor directing. And Carrie's, I mean, you know, Carlton's great, but Carrie's really good from her days at, you know, Friday Night Lights and Parenthood. She's good at this stuff. I mean, maybe at least two of us in this room have cried too many Parenthood episodes.
Oh my God, so many. My God, I don't want to do it every time. I don't want to do it.
I'm a grown ass man.
Here it comes.
Out of 100 episodes, I probably cried out of 60.
Uh huh.
So thanks, Carrie Aaron.
Thanks for that.
Anyway, so she's really good at writing.
Sorry, you're like Al Pacino in Analyze This or whatever it is. She was sobbing in the hotel room.
De Niro.
Is it De Niro? Yeah. Or Al Pacino? Thank you. Yeah. How you cry? Well, I guess you are.
I dare you to watch that show and not cry.
Oh, yeah.
With your three kids.
Oh, I don't even have kids. Hardest stone.
Nothing. Dare you.
Sobbing.
I feel nothing.
Anyway, let's get back. We're digressing a lot. Did I tell you about Usher? He's got a girl on the side. And he's got a girlfriend.
I heard the girl on the side's pregnant.
He's confessing to the world. All right, so. But Carrie's really good at this stuff, and I agree, Joe. That was like probably one of the most romantic things I've seen in television or film in a long time. That's like top five romantic moments.
Beautiful.
For me.
Yeah.
Beautiful moment.
You know why it worked? As we've said this about this show over and over again, they earn it. They never cheat.
Yeah.
Like you can write something like that and not actually get there in the scene, but it's still in the script, and so you do it, and it has one of those. It ends up coming off like, oh, shit, really. But with this show, especially because they've got such incredibly talented people and such an incredible writing staff, and you have a secret weapon who's not a secret is Vera Farmiga, and you can actually build a scene like that, and you can get to that spot where you've earned that, and then when it hits, then it doesn't feel cheesy, it doesn't feel lame, it feels like you hit it with the middle of the bat, and it's a home run, and. F you.
Julia, what did you think of this episode?
I loved this episode. I found this episode almost unsettling in its honesty. It was the most honest episode. There was no lying. There was no scheming.
Nope.
It was just uncovering these truths and just pure, unadulterated honesty, which almost made me uncomfortable. You know, I'm so not used to that on this show.
Well, you grew up in Los Angeles also. It's very uncomfortable for us in town.
It's very uncomfortable. But everything, it was also a really disturbing episode. Oh my God,
Freddie.
That flashback, and he played it so well.
Oh.
And his new transitions, now that he's honestly transitioning, now that he knows what's happening, has just been so subtly tweaked.
Mm.
There was one transition that he did, because he has many, that when he was, when the doctor asked if he could speak to Norma, that I've never seen him do it like that. Usually it comes from a very intense emotional state. For him to make that honest choice, I was like, boom, he's doing it.
That's a big deal.
You know what? Speaking of big deals, I noticed right here that I'm reading the wrong episode. The good news is Nestor didn't direct this episode. He directs the next episode.
Oh, so we got to get on the horn.
Nice.
So
yes.
I
got
to get on the horn.
I
got to
play my
here.
Outfit.
It's not too late.
It's No Place Like Home. I was one ahead. That's next week.
All right, well, let's get on the horn with Mr. Carbonell.
A loser. I am. Double.
This we will do. This was
in the chat room, they're telling me. I'm sorry. Yes. Yes, I get it, guys. I'm sorry. Yes, Nestor directs the... They said it to you.
Now I'm not the only one that screwed up. I don't feel so bad.
Hello, John Doe. Hello, Maria. Hello, Jamie. Hello, Sam G. Hello, Shalom Joe. And Mary Kay Pearl. And Grandmaster Intellect. Grand Mixer Intellect. And Lounge Blogger. And all of you folks. Hello, who are in the chat room right now. I just want to say hello to you in real time. John Doe. You too. Hello. So, hi, everybody. Anyway, what did you think of this episode?
This was a monster episode. So if you really think about everything that happened in this episode, we have a ton of things that happened.
Yes.
The first thing that happened is the key. The key traded hands. That's a big deal. We should talk about that. The second thing, Norman now knows that he turns into his mother. That's a huge thing and something that we weren't really aware of in the movie. The other thing that happens is Dylan has found the letter that Emma's mother left her.
Yes.
So that's cracking that storyline wide open. Then we figure out what happens when you back Norma into a corner. That was the real star of this show. Like, I mean, I loved Freddie and I loved all of his scenes where he transitions, and that's Top Gun. But Norma, I think, probably experienced every single human emotion possible this episode.
Yeah. Do you know that there's this thing called an Emmy? Have you heard about this? It's some sort of an award where they would just give it to like the best actress in television. I don't know. I've heard about this thing. I cannot imagine how the hell she doesn't have it.
Well, yes. I think that like in Emmy voting, they have what they're called their Emmy episodes. So it's like, oh, this is a showcase episode.
This would be one for her.
How about they just send them like 30? But 30 episodes.
The point that I'm making is Vera Farmiga's reel is like it's an Emmy reel. Like every episode is her Emmy episode. She can do no wrong. I love this episode as well. And Joe, just talking about what you were saying about them earning it. We'll talk about each of these plot points in detail. But what you're talking about earning it with that last scene with Romero. This the fact that he just stared the entire time when we're like, what is he like taking it in?
What is he thinking?
He's like looking and she's screaming at him and she's saying this nonsense. And it's like, go ahead, because I'm trying to Norma meltdown. And Romero's like, giving her like the what the and he says, what the hell was that? And she does that wonderful confession. Shout out to Usher. Wonderful confession, tells it all, says everything she has to say. And to that, he just looks and looks and looks and then says, where are we going? It was perfect. Absolutely earned. Perfect.
I was wondering how he was going to react when she was just spiraling down, yelling at Chick. Yeah. I was like, stop it. Oh, God, please stop it. Stop going. Stop going. And she didn't stop. And I was just wondering how he was going to take that in and what his reaction was going to be when he closed that door behind Chick. It was perfect. Like, what the F, man?
Well, you know, Romero is very familiar he's seen the Norma meltdown before. He knows what she's about. The beginning of their whole interlude was him questioning her about that guy's disappearance of the person that lived in the house before her way back in season one. So I think that this doesn't shock him at all. And so I think that he also knows that, you know, he's like, just what the hell was that? And then once he got the explanation, you know, it all becomes crystal clear. You know, and I'm just going to say the one line that I just thought was brilliant is, I've never loved anyone enough to feel obligated to be honest with them. And when she had that monster monologue, I know you had that down too.
I thought you could write that one down too.
And when she had monologue, when you talk about good writing.
Good stuff. Carrie Aaron. I'm assuming it's Carrie. She has a wonderful staff of everyone who knows who wrote that particular line. But I'm gonna bet it was Carrie. I'm guessing. But
yeah.
If it wasn't Carrie, I'm sorry to the writer staff. Sorry to everyone else.
Last thing I want to say about that whole scene, I think we said this a few weeks ago about this couple about Nestor and Vera. They have this thing that they're able to bring. They're both still attractive. They're not old, but they're old enough that they bring a maturity to the role. And we all have baggage, right? At this point in our lives, if you're in your mid-40s or wherever you are, you have baggage. No one's going into this thing completely clean. Right. And I love that what they were able to bring to that scene is, without saying anything except for, you know, where we're going, he was able to bring all of that. Like, no, I killed fools. I've done all kinds of stuff. I've been party to all kinds of nastiness. In fact, this whole Bob Parrish thing is all going. I've done things. You've done things. I love you. That's it. We're in. Yeah. I love that. It was all there.
Not to bury the lead here, but there's also a big moment. They told each other they loved him. They said, I love you to each other.
Yeah, right before the big meltdown.
Yeah. Yep. So that's
big moment.
So, you know. But let's get into the specifics. So we pick up where we left off, where Chick has basically confronted Norma at the end of the last episode and basically kind of saying, I know who you are. I know what you did. I know about your brother. I know the whole thing. Help me kill this fool, and I won't say anything, essentially, is where he's coming from. And Norma's sort of grappling with this because, as she mentioned, she really does have a huge amount of contempt for, and maybe even some hatred for, Caleb. But it's her brother, and she loves him, and it was her former lover. So it's like couldn't be more conflicted about this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really wondering trying to get inside Norma's brain what she was going to do, what I thought she might do. I mean, and I felt like, is she going to want him dead? Is she going to want to kill him? What is this going to be? And it was interesting to see that whole thing play out. But, She did seem to go through the motions and do the investigation to find out where Caleb was. But I don't know, something changed along the line when she got somewhere between talking to Dylan and talking to Caleb. Her sort of like, you can kind of see her changing from, I want him dead, I'm considering this, to like, I've got to kill Chick to protect myself. I don't know, how did you read that whole storyline?
It was the conversation with Caleb. I think that's what pinpointed it, because personally, the whole time she was trying to protect her secret, and her secret was that driving factor. So she went to go find Caleb, I think, to just, you know, we always talk about how Norma reacts first and kind of asks questions later. So she, right now, all she's looking to do is protect her secret. once she has that conversation with Caleb, I mean, that was a powerful phone conversation. Two actors on the phone, not actually talking to each other and being able to play that well off of each other. And I think that when she hung up the phone, I think that then she knew she can't, well, you know, her next viable option was then, well, I'm just going to have to kill Chick.
Yeah. I love that King Johnson, too. King Johnson does this great thing with acting where he plays uncomfortable in his own skin, shifting his weight, also like super vulnerable and super tough all simultaneously. It's weird how he does that. It's a really interesting...
It's compelling.
Compelling. It's, I'm a tough guy, but I'm super vulnerable, but I'm uncomfortable in my skin, but I just kind of want to know. Like,
and I'm making these choices as I go because they're hard for me.
Yeah,
these aren't,
he's really
I'm
good.
Not,
like, he's
these
really
aren't
good
things
stuff.
I've decided already. I'm thinking through right now, and it's it's the thing, and you're like, oh, shit, what is he going to say next?
Yeah, he's really good at that, Kenny Johnson.
I wonder if they didn't get on the... I bet that they got on the phone with each other. I bet they did.
You think?
Yeah, you know, there's no rule says you can't, and you know that's a generous thing that you would do for another actor in this show. I wonder. I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't done any research in it, but I would imagine that they
actually.
Julie, do you have any insight into what you thought about Norma's sort of?
Yeah,
like...
I was just sort of thinking about this. So she always is in a state with Norman. She's always been in a state of protecting him in some way or another. But then when Dylan has that line to her of, if you keep treating people like they're fragile, it keeps them from getting stronger. Mm-hmm. And I think that really hit home for her.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then when she realizes, when she is backed into this corner and she doesn't know what she's going to do, I think getting on the phone with Caleb, I think her, before Norman was incarcerated, I think her first thing she would have done would to be find Caleb and get rid of him. Mm-hmm. But I think she's turned quite introspective, and now she's in this blissful state for the first time, and it's honest, and it's real, and she's in love, and she's living out this movie. Right. You don't want to F that up,
right.
You know, and she always Fs it up.
Yeah.
Something always Fs it up. So I think that was sort of like her driving force in her decision. Like, she wants to do it, and old Norma would shoot him, or old Norma would turn him on to Caleb. But she's an honest woman now.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing is, do you think maybe that phone call, one thing to consider, do you think that phone call was kind of a test for Caleb, too? You did just bail. I mean, you ran out. You know, we don't know what happened. Chick's saying all this stuff. She calls Caleb, and do you think if Caleb had said the wrong thing, maybe she would have let Chick know where he was?
Maybe.
You know, but he just came at it so honest.
I mean, he was so aw shucks about it.
I got involved
Emma
in some stuff.
Oh, geez.
And he knew about Emma. He knew about Dylan. He
Is
knew
it
about
Emma?
The whole thing.
He's invested.
Yeah, and it when and he didn't come out and say. And I think one of the other things he did that was as a character that was cool that she responded to again as a character was he didn't come out there and be like, oh no, this freaking guy Chick and all this crazy shit. I beat the hell out of him just protect Dylan, you know, our son. He didn't do any of that. He's like, I got involved in some stuff. And I left to protect you.
Yes.
Exactly.
It's so good.
How could you then be like, you
got to
die now,
right?
Son. Like,
you can't sell them out there.
I mean, they'd also had made peace with each other with their past. You know, they had that big family dinner. Like, put it behind them. It is what it is. It cannot be changed. This is how the family lives on.
Yeah. I would like to know what Romero and Caleb's next interaction would be like, though, now that Romero knows this information. And Caleb might be coming back. It looks like very soon.
Yeah,
so.
I was trying to read Romero's as you know.
Oh, I think he was
Norma
pissed.
Is like doing this with the diarrhea of the mouth and like you're like shut up, Norma, shut up. But like she's saying all this stuff and saying about the relationship and what happened, and then it's like his like oh well it's a long time ago and things happen, but no, we were together, we're in love. It's all we had was each other. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, and then he raped me, and it's kind of like his face is like I'm taking myself to the same emotions of like where's this guy?
Yeah.
Exactly. And so who knows if he's going to, you know, want to punch him in the face or...
Well, I mean, Romero's can be unpredictable, and he's very chivalrous. And do you remember when the look that he gave her when he was like, the guy that I had dinner with at the table, the guy that was sitting at the same table, that was the guy? Like, I could totally see him almost hunting down Caleb now and kind of investigating it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, maybe because...
But for what, though? I mean, there was so much honesty in what she said. And you know, we've said this for a long time, because there's so many shows now, the golden post-secondary golden age of television, whatever it is we've decided this is, there's so much nuance that's being explored with so many different shows, and behavioral nuance that we could never have explored in this way, even 15 years ago. But, you know, we're looking at an incestuous relationship that was based on obviously domestic, an abusive parental structure, right? And so we're actually looking at this, and she's as a character in a network series, albeit a cable network, is saying that I was in love with my brother. Yeah. We were in love. We were all we had, and then eventually I decided to stop it. But it's such an interesting idea, right? We couldn't have done this 15 years ago.
There's no way. We could have done it 10 years ago. And I think the level of to say that, yeah, this is my brother. We have this incestual relationship, but we're actually in love. And he's a father of my child who is on the show. Yeah. And like to play with those things. We talked about this in season 2 and 3 a little bit too, but this is some heavy stuff. And and not to be outdone by Norman's flashback and reaccounting of what happened that one night. Whoa. Which was pretty effing heavy. We'll get to that in a second. But I'm like, why is Norman so effed up?
Because he picked the wrong goddamn place to hide.
Yeah. Well, among other things. And the wrong gene pool to have Lizzie born from, probably, too.
This show is pushing the envelope. Oh, that is, like, next level inappropriate.
Talk about not, you know, things you shouldn't see on TV or anywhere.
Gee whiz. Future reference, don't hide under mom and dad's bed. Well,
I mean, this
any other bed.
Pick any other bed.
Okay, let's save all those thoughts, because I want to finish up with this thing, because one comment I had about this is that you kept seeing the old Norma wanting to surface. Like, she kept, like, you know, her... I don't know the childlike behavior, the selfish behavior she kind of has. She goes into this
the bringing a gun to a rainy bridge to try and solve your problem behavior.
Well, even before that, even before that,
that seemed like a very good way to solve this problem. By the way,
says the Sicilian.
Who does that in real life?
But I know they exist in your family, Joe.
Just saying, there's some problems don't want to go away. They gotta go away.
But even beforehand, the conversation with Dylan, and poor Dylan doesn't know which Norma he's ever gonna get. He's hey, my mom's cool again. Hey, mom, how you doing? She's I'm picking up some stuff with Emma. And he's like, well, it must be nice for her. I forget the line she said.
Okay, how about leaving me?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's my favorite.
Have fun leaving me.
Yeah. As she's, like, pounding the onions.
And she's taking all of her aggression out on her basil. She's
chop the shit out of that basil. That is going to be one basiled up dinner.
Have fun leaving me. And all these different sort of passive-aggressive things she's saying towards Dylan. Mm-hmm. And even as she... the meltdown she had with Chick on the bridge, which is actually a kind of a breakthrough moment of strength. It was like the old school Norman melting down almost in a like tantrum, but like it's like, well, I can't kill you and I can't kill my brother, so die.
You know? I just wanted my freaking window fixed.
Yeah, it's just so good. So good.
Why am I here?
And I think it got through to Chick too. It landed.
That was a laugh. I want to ask about that, but that was a laugh out loud line.
Yes. Because it's like so true.
Yeah. Again, back to Norma's like ability to play these scenes for a terrifying scene where she's faced with killing her incestuous brother or killing this murderous guy. Yeah. And she's like, I want to get my freaking window fixed. Again, that's great.
Have I said that there's a trophy that they can give them? There's an award.
It's good. It's good.
Emmy? Emmy? Is it called an Emmy?
Never heard of it.
Well, do we think that it rung true with Chick? Like, do we think that Chick is over it? Because what did that kiss mean at the end?
Well, I don't want to read too much into the kiss. We could ask. I know you mentioned maybe it could be the kiss of death or something like that. But
maybe.
Chick is not Sicilian. I can tell you that right now.
I will say this. That, like, whatever happened on that bridge, like, it hit Chick in some kind of way. Because he got around, and he could have played this a lot of different ways. He could have came over and, you know, with a gun, a shotgun. He could have came over, could have stalked her. But he literally brought the window. Here's the bill. And, you know, and then gave her a kiss in the cheek, which I thought was a nice touch. And I don't know. Chick's hard to read. What do you think Chick's takeaway from this?
I don't remember what his quote was. It got to be right with myself. Is that what it was?
I don't know.
Something like that.
Something about integrity.
I got to be in integrity with myself.
In the previous episode.
Yeah. And that, to me, that's Chick, right? I mean, that's the idea. There's some sort of a moral code, right? I deal with gangsters. Yes, I live in the mountains I'm a weird mountain hermit thing now that my wife and my kid have left. But I have this code I live by.
The dope-ass handmade walking stick.
Well, you'd be amazed what you can do when you find out you have to.
The baby head, nice creepy touch.
Yeah. A little bit on the creep tip.
Earrings.
But that to me is an interesting thing, right? He's got to be at whatever it was in sync with himself or honest with himself or in integrity with himself. And now if she says, now he's basically being shown, you thought you were wronged, but if you follow through with what you're doing, you'll be wronging her. She has nothing to do with this. She's completely out of this, and you'll be dragging her into it and doing her harm, which would drag him out of integrity with himself.
He also likes Norma.
Yeah,
he likes her.
I think he does.
He called her polite and sweet. Yeah. And, like, he likes her. She liked him.
What do you make of this, though? Do you make of Chick as... Chick is, like, every... White Pine Bay, we've talked about this a lot. All these characters are shrouded in mystery. The town's shrouded in mystery. The sheriff's shrouded in mystery. But, like, Chick is, you know, personifies all of that. But I don't know that he's a particularly sinister guy. He has sinister parts. I don't make it.
He's an introspective man. He's an artistic soul. I don't think it comes naturally to be vindictive like that. Wait. And he also said, like, you never know what you're capable of until you're tested.
Are you in love with Chick?
I am. Desperately.
That's an important quote, though.
And I think he was tested. He tested her. She tested him. And he made the decision to keep it to himself.
Let us not forget that Chick did set Caleb and Dylan up to be executed.
I was just going to say that.
He had some money to make.
I'm just saying. So, I mean, when we're talking...
He didn't know him yet.
Did he not know what was going in?
I'm pretty sure he set them up.
I don't think so.
I don't think he set them up.
I think he knew the dangers were there in the chat room.
I don't remember the specifics of it enough, maybe to crawl up on there and I mean
it's definitely out of integrity with himself to take two people when you present them with an opportunity to make a lot of money knowing that they're going into a really dangerous situation.
Now, I'm not committed enough to this to make a poster board and hang it over the freeway sign, but I am pretty convinced that he set them up, but I don't think so because they were still going to trade goods.
There was still money to be made. That was his money that he wanted.
I want to. I mean, yeah, I agree. I don't know that he set him up. Maybe they can help us in the chat room. We got to shift gears here before we run out of time because we really got to talk about freaking Freddie Highmore Norman.
Yeah.
And his continued wonderful sessions with Dr. Gay Edwards.
Too.
And the key. Well, let's touch on the key first. I mean, I don't know. No, you know, ask you do a Romero. They molded over, got the key, gave it to old redhead Rebecca. Give it to Rebecca.
I'm going to say old redhead.
I was going to be Rachel, Rebecca, Ragula.
Yeah, I think we called her Rachel all last episode.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Rebecca. And did the move with the key under the thing, slid it
Swoop.
Under.
Mm-hmm.
And then never looked at her once and kind of, you know, stared forward.
Yeah. So... First, I thought it was a really chivalrous move. I was like, that's really sweet. She wants the key. He's like, I'm just going to give her what she wants. And then I realized, what the hell is she going to do with this key? She can't use it, right? Because it's gonna. Wouldn't that implicate her and Bob Paris's disappearance?
No one knows that safe deposit box exists except for her and Bob Paris, who's dead.
People investigate and then you open up, like, it's got to be under somebody's name or it has to
be. I'm not a doctor, but I would say with $3 million, you got pretty good odds you can disappear pretty quick.
Get out of there.
Bounce down to Costa Rica, hang out with Kenny.
And it solves two problems with Nestor, because Romero's either going to have to kill her or get her out.
Get her the hell out.
Get the money, get out of here. DA's after you.
Yeah.
See you later.
Bounce, baby, bounce.
And then he's
get you gone.
One less problem.
It solves his problem.
And worst case scenario, she gets caught with the money. He's like, I don't know what the fuck she's talking about. I don't have anything to do with it. I guarantee you, his prints aren't on it, and nobody, you know, there's any way to trace it back to him. So he just goes, I have nothing to do with it.
And he still,
it was a chivalrous move,
exactly.
And he still never admitted to her that I killed him. Never said where he got it. Never said anything.
Nah. So what is she going to do? Oh, the sheriff gave it to me. The sheriff killed him. Oh yeah, the sheriff did it. Sure he did.
So it could be a smart move. That's fine.
But I agree. Yeah. Chivalrous because he hurt her feelings. You know, she loved him.
Let's get into.
We liked him a lot.
It's almost like alimony.
A little bit.
Let's get into these sessions. Dr. Gay Edwards, our good friend, is really making some progress with old Norman, right?
Yeah.
We had a breakthrough last week. We actually saw the transformation. Again, we talked about this, but also Amy should go to Freddie Highmore. Like his way he gets in and out of these transformations, the slight physicalities he does when it happens, a little like weird neck twist, and it's like... Hello, and it's like,
but
it's really...
And it's on the eyes,
it's
and
on
you
the
notice,
eyes.
You
it's
know.
It's a little jerk, and then it's like, he's Norma, and it's really, really well done. But, so they had those initial things, and I just wrote down, when Edwards is breaking the news to him, he's like, I blacked out, what happened? He goes, well, you know, I talked to someone else. Well, who was it? It was your mother. Norman was surprisingly calm. He's like, all right, my mom. What'd she say? I'm like, what?
Did she say hi? She said hi, right? Because I mean, I haven't seen her in a while.
What do you mean? What do you make of that? Does he subconsciously know that that's happening, or does he think that? Well, he said, like, I have sometimes I've talked to my mother and she said she wasn't there, so maybe he's realizing that. But if someone told me, oh, by the way, Joe, when you blacked out, you became Joe Sanfilippo and are ranting and raving and going a lot, I would say,
whoa, whoa, you should be so lucky. The best 10 minutes of your life. Never better than when you blacked out. Or dagoed out. I don't know what the actual term is.
That exact phrase was what you said on your honeymoon, I'm sure. The best 10 minutes of your life will be better when you're blacked out.
She's like, why are you lying? Why are you overshooting by 6.5 minutes?
If someone said that, I would freak the F out. So why, was that surprising to you? He's so calm? Anyone?
He hit rock bottom. He hit rock bottom at the strip club.
So that's how you, and how do you interpret it?
I wrote the same thing, that he takes it, the news, surprisingly well. But who else is he going to be? He only knows one person, really.
That's true. The dog, stuff dog. Yeah. I got the stuffed dog. I got Norma. I got Dylan. Dylan, you know, I don't mean Dylan. No. I got three people.
Yeah. He seemed oddly inquisitive as to what she was like. Like, he wasn't surprised, almost seemed a little relieved that he probably knew, because these blackouts have been such a mystery and so torturous for him for so long. But then he was like, so what's she like? And I loved Edwards. Yeah, exactly. Charming. She tried to seduce me.
And he looked kind of proud when he said charming. Yeah. He was like, oh, Norma is great.
That's excellent. So I thought he took that particularly well. Mm-hmm. And then it just made me, I can't help but skip ahead in my head and wonder, like, where is this going? Because Dr. Edwards can't possibly make it out of this alive. He's got too much information. Like, what? How is this going to, what's going to happen here?
Can I ask a question? Structural?
Yeah.
Now, we had Carrie on the show. Last year. Was it last season?
For the finale.
Did she? I don't remember. I don't remember structurally where we're at here. Are we trying to link up with the movies, or have we decided this is a complete reset?
She gets very limited source material from the movies. Right. So I asked her that question when she was here, and she said, you know, she's probably seen the movie a handful of times, read the books, but they don't try and pull specifically from the movie. They just used it as inspiration.
But the answer is yes.
Are we trying to line up this caboose with the train at the end? Are we trying to hit this?
Okay. The end of this is the beginning of Psycho.
So it's not like we're not, it's not a reset. This is not a new, no. This is, okay, so this is where we're landing no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody's got to die. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. But so I thought that was great. You know, he's making some progress. And then the next time they have this interaction where the trauma kicks in and Norma's in the room and she's there and she's like, don't tell him anything. Yep. You leave him out of this.
And then she threatens him.
Yeah. Well, in that moment, he's by himself. And then Doctor was like, "Well, is she with you?" And he's like, "Yeah, she's here now." And he seems so calm about it. Not like, "Is it happening to me now? What's happening?" Like, "Yeah, she's right there, dude." Don't you know? It's like, "Well, can I talk to her?" And then it was just that weird moment.
Swoop.
And he
best transition.
And he got to talk to her. And I thought that was an amazing scene, like across, like a tour de force scene written and executed. Because in that scene, you had the information of, I'm making this transition. We see the actual transition from Norman to Norma in real time, mm-hmm. in front of Dr. Edwards playing this out. And then you've got Dr. Edwards interviewing Norma and then pulling the information out of, pulling Norman's trauma through Norma. It's just really fascinating to say, like, okay, this is like, you created your mother because you've experienced these traumatic events. What is a traumatic event? And he's like, I can't tell you, but maybe my mother can. Mm-hmm. And here's my mother to tell you about it. He goes, oh yeah, he's fucked up. Here's what happened. Like, I tried to leave, my husband put a gun to my head, then he raped me, and Norman was under the bed, and I held his hand. Like, that's the story, but told through Norman. And of course, we had to see it, which was horrifyingly traumatic. I mean, I don't want to rehash it too much, but there's a pretty graphic in there.
I think there's
the hand and the thing.
And there's some tremendous specificity, I think, with how that whole scene went down. They added the shot there where Dad's...
They did a lot.
Where that was going. That wasn't going where it was supposed to go.
And as I yelled at the screen, I'm like, I'm already traumatized! Stop it! Like, I'm going to turn into my mother! I'm going to be Mother Braswell!
Well, I think that Dr. Edwards has accomplished his goal, though. I think the fact that Norman can transition comfortably in front of him without being traumatically, you know, forced to, I think that that shows that Norman trusts Dr. Edwards, as does the Mother Norma persona to some degree. You know, because that's not something that he's done before. He's normally needed to be completely traumatized mm-hmm. and in a stress situation to snap.
I wonder, who does... Now, at this point, Norman's 18, right? Isn't he 18 in the show, or is he 19?
Yeah. He's probably 19 now.
Yeah. Who does Dr. Edwards tell? Like, well, who is it now? Well, who becomes Edwards is legally, he's an authority, right? Yeah. He's got control at this point whether or not Norman can get in or out. But Norman checked himself in. And I know that the doctor can say at some point or another to the state, there's paperwork you can file and say, hey, this guy's a complete wackadoo. He's going to hurt himself. He's going to hurt somebody else. So he needs to stay. Mm-hmm. But where does that line get drawn? And then who does he tell this is a paranoid schizophrenic or personality disorder?
It's very, very interesting you should say that, because I thought about that when the whole thing was Norman has to check himself in. We can't check him in. He has to sign his own consent to get in. And I thought, okay, well, if he's voluntarily checking himself in, then he's not. I mean, he may be able to say, okay, I feel good. I'm going to check myself out. He hasn't been committed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the previews, I did look at the previews, it loses
looks
just
like
that.
He wants to bounce. Like, he wants to bounce.
He says, I want to check myself out. And he's like bumping around, like, you know, who knows if it's a delusion or whatever
But what's the legal, I would be interested to know.
I am not a lawyer.
What is the legal situation? If the institution you check yourself into decides you're a complete wackadoo, mm-hmm. and you come out and said, like, I do crazy shit, I think that they can keep you.
Yeah.
But he's not said he's done anything yet. And I think either in the preview or this one, he says, Dr. Edwards does say something about you're a danger to yourself and others, you know, which is the line from the name of the first episode. But I don't know. I mean, maybe that's going to be Dr. Edwards' case, is that this guy's a danger to himself and others. However, there's no evidence that he already checked up. No one's dead, according to he's checked. There's no crime been committed. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Edwards can't say he's out there killing people. There's nothing to investigate. There's nothing to do. It's all like he has these little blackouts. He's maybe getting better. He thinks he's better. Maybe he's best with his mom. You know, maybe his mom's in a state. Maybe it's a stable environment now. He's got the mom's married to the very
the sheriff, man.
The sheriff, who can be more reputable than that. They have a nice stable home now. Let's give him some outpatient care. Maybe that's the theory. But I will say, you know, Dewey, you reference this at the end there, once he's like, you know, you can't let him remember that or whatever. Don't tell him that. Or what's the threat?
She says, don't make him remember these things or else I'm going to have to do something about it.
Do something about it. Yeah. And everyone's going to look like, huh?
She kills fools, Dr. Edwards.
It was a threat, but like, do you think Edwards perceives it as a threat? Or like, I was like, what does he mean by that?
He seems like a sharp guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that...
It's so thinly veiled, but... I mean, he doesn't know what we know, which is like, you know, showers and knives and...
Well, Dr. Edwards is smart, and I think that he, you know, I think he'll probably take it seriously, but he already followed up with the cops, and so, you know, with about one thing. So there's nothing really to be suspicious of on that level. Like, I think that, you know, if you are backed into a corner and if you feel threatened, you're going to threaten somebody that you're talking to. I think that's totally normal, and I don't think that Norman feels comfortable to do it, so he has his mother... persona do it. But, you know, they did leave the storyline open with Dylan and finding Emma's mother's letter in Norman's room. So that is now either a missing person or a dead body. And I think that resurfacing might...
She's living in the pit.
Yeah.
Well, Joe doesn't think so. Joe thinks that she's still alive.
No. I've seen her body.
If she's alive, she's awful
rule of drama...
For a living lady, she's pretty dead in that pit. I'm telling you that right now.
I'm telling you right now. The rule, I mean, Game of Thrones is another one. Unless you see the body.
Yeah.
Or see the body.
Even when you see the body.
It can
turn blue and pop right back up.
You never know.
I'm blue as shit. Let's go.
Body means nothing. Nothing.
That's a tagline for season 6 Game of Thrones.
I'm blue as shit. Let's go.
tonight on HBO.
What did you guys think about Norman's reaction to the fact that he found out that Dylan is dating Emma now?
Oh.
Was it genuine? Or was
sanguine.
It, or was it sanguine. Nice.
It's sanguine. Yeah. I like that word.
Was it a genuine reaction? Right. What do you think, Julia?
It felt pretty genuine to me. I don't know. I think he has bigger fish to fry right now. He never loved Emma. You know, that was never like his thing.
Yeah, they were the kind of two misfits. They're bouncing around
and
bounced into each other.
I guess we're supposed to get together, make my mom jealous. Yeah. I think he's fine with it.
I mean, but Norman is such a, like, sociopath, except when it comes to his emotions as a directly relates to his mother. Any other interaction with any other human, I don't even know what the F he's thinking or feeling.
He doesn't know either.
It's like, I don't know if
he's repressing the shit out of it.
Yeah, but it's also like, I'm, you know, like Dexter, like anyone else, like a sociopath do. Like, I'm acting how I think human beings are supposed to act because I have no idea. So I'm saying what, you know, I'm supposed to be sad here, so I'm going to pretend to be sad. Or
yeah,
I'm supposed
crying,
to be happy.
Watching Parenthood,
pretend
you know,
to be
like,
happy. That's real, buddy.
Give it a try.
I cry.
One episode.
One episode. I dare
episode.
You. I dare you. I dare you to not cry. I dare you to not cry.
Maybe I'm the sociopath. I don't know.
Anyway, so
might be me.
But so yeah, that's why I took that moment. Like, you know, like he's like, oh yeah, Dylan, I'm actually happy for you. I have no idea what the F Norman is thinking.
I thought it was surprisingly very similar to the way that Norma reacted. Is that he called it before Dylan actually had a chance to say it. He's like, I have something to tell you. And that's kind of the scene. And Norma found out the scene in front of the car, I think the first episode of this season. And she was like, oh, and she kind of called it before he had a chance to say it. And he was like, yeah, what do you think? And oh, it was good. I just thought it was oddly really similar to the way his mother reacted to it. So
So the episode, most of our truths are out here. So most of our truths are out. Like, Dylan kind of knows the truth or what's going on, and he's on the trail of what's happening. You know, Dr. Edwards kind of knows what's going on with Norman, and he's got to report that to his mom. I mean, the questions are, will Norma believe him? Hey, Norma, check this out. He thinks it's you, and he's repressed because of you. He turns into you. I picture Norma going, that's not my Norman.
What? Like, you know, but would he tell him, though? That's the thing. Would Dr. Edwards tell Norma what's going on?
Is it, do you talk about the privilege?
I'm talking about, is that a privilege? I don't know. Is he an adult, and then, you know, he's going through some stuff, and that would affect his recovery to have his mother know that, you know.
Right. I don't know. But we have.
Gotta tell mom as part of the therapy, don't leave your underwear around because she's gonna put it on. Like, you know, there's some stuff that you should know if you got a wackadoo son who thinks he's you.
Couple things before you get to predictions. That's why, like, lay
these things
out here.
Wackadoo son handbook.
First off, put your underwear away. Never leave your underwear out. That's first.
First thing. So yeah. So Edwards knows about Norman. We know about that. So what's gonna happen there? Norma has completely confessed almost everything to Romero. Does she then take it a step further and start talking about the people she whacked and the people Norman whacked? Does she think so? Will she take it to the next step? And
he
say,
knows
like,
about...
Well, you know everything, right? Well, then there's some people that are dead.
he knows about...
You still want to go?
He knows about what's his name, right? The first one. Doesn't he know about that?
I don't know. I can't remember what he knows.
No,
folks, help us out here.
The guy who owned the hotel before she bought it, the one who got foreclosed on.
The guy tried to rape her.
Yeah.
He did rape her.
Keith Summers.
That's right.
Keith Summers. Yeah. I think he knows about Keith Summers, or at least suspects.
And by the way,
I don't remember.
Not for anything. Norma raped 3 times in one show, at least that we know of. She's on a rough go.
Three times there was Edwards, and then
we saw one today, the flashback of one.
Oh, and you're talking about
and we're talking
Caleb.
About Caleb,
yeah.
which alluded to today. We talked about two rapes today. We saw one, talked about one.
Yeah,
and then, just the pilot had so one.
Up.
You know, like. Yeah. Norma.
Show's kind of rapey.
And she actually. A little rapey. And she actually.
She's a little bit rapey.
She had a line in there, and Julia, I'm sure you wrote it down. She had a line in there talking about, like, when she referenced being raped by Caleb.
Have you ever. Do you know what it's like to be raped by somebody you love?
Yeah. And we just saw earlier what happened to her and her husband. But that guy's a charmer, by the way. Sweet guy, that Mr. Bates.
Oof. That was rough.
He's a real catch. Jesus.
Do you think they're painting him out to be like this so then when, like, Romero finds out that she actually killed him, that it won't be bad?
No, it's not that simple. Remember, because, like, was it last week when he had the big hug with his son when he's all fucked and he's passed out? And, oh, I know I love you, Norman. I love you. So he's not drawing a simple picture here. It's supposed to be complicated and complex. Not complex. I'm sorry. Complicated and conflicted.
We got to get out of here.
When he was describing what was happening, when Norman was the one describing that's when he had the hug from his father. When Norma was describing it, that's when it was the rape.
Interesting.
Dun, dun, dun.
Very good point. So a lot of stuff happening.
Good stuff.
Normero, what's Chick going to do? We have Dr. Edwards. A lot of stuff going on. I don't know what's going to happen, but let's get into predictions.
Rebecca's
Your
gone.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Oh, brother. You know what I realize? Every time I make a prediction, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like
that's
last week.
That's a fun part of
last week, we were predicting, I was predicting that Norma was actually going to get rid of Rebecca and kill Rebecca. And what happens? Romero gives the key to Rebecca, and now she's out of
$3
the picture.
$3 million.
And I think that she's, like, out of the picture forever. I think that kind of is the end of her storyline.
You think that's it for her?
I do. Okay. I really do. And I think that that's the way, you know.
I'll take that prediction. We have 15 seconds.
I think Caleb is going to come back.
He's coming back.
I think we're going to see Caleb.
But what's going to happen? Kenny Johnson.
I don't know.
That's a weak prediction.
You know,
I predict Caleb's going to rejoin the show.
I think that Romero is going to do something to him.
Okay,
I think
Dylan's going to start investigating, maybe take a road trip to Sacramento.
Yep.
Because he looked at that address. and get to the bottom of this. He's going to have to be the one.
Scooby-Doo flashlights come back
out
again.
He's going to have to be the one to break something to Emma. It's caper time. Yeah. Just going to maybe break them apart.
Ooh,
he's
going to
have to choose between family.
That's a very good thing.
No more capers for Emma. It's the new band we're starting.
I'm playing Coachella next week.
Mine is much more just structural. I think next week, we're going to have a last separate episode again. I think things are going to get good in the next 2 weeks. Things are going to get copacetic. Everything's going to be nice. And then the shit will hit the fan. Because I think like we're getting a lot of the stuff just came out this week. A lot of nastiness. And we just had, we just had the sheriff. You know, Nestor just said, hey, where are we going? We just got that connection. Boom. We're in love. It's like in a movie. Don't F it up. Mm-hmm. You know, blah, blah, blah. I think we're going to have one more episode of niceness or, one episode of niceness. And then I think it's all going to get the final.
I was just going to say, if we get Norman out of the, hospital and he's back in the mix, Norman and those two together do not mix in that house. Norman will not tolerate Norma being in a happy relationship with another man.
My prediction is that same thing. I mean, we've seen Norma and Romero being super happy together, enjoying this honeymoon. This honeymoon has been sans Norman. I think Norman's the wedge that comes into place. Norma's a different person. Different person when Norman's around, and Romero has not got a load of the full, too close for comfort relationship. When Romero walks around the corner and sees one of those long, protracted hugs between the two of them, them seeing each other's eyes, he may or may not like that. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, that's my prediction. We got to get out of here. Sorry we went over a little bit. You guys, thanks for joining us in the chat room. Everyone, all you guys, Maria, Chloe, Dylan, Freckless, Nat, Shalom, Joe, all you people, we'll see you guys soon. Thank you for checking us out. Please check us out on iTunes and rate us. Give us fives if you like. But it helps other people find us. Joe, where can the people find you?
You can find me on the Twitter. It's at Joe Flippo, JoeFlippo.
Julia?
Twitter, Instagram. My name Julia Carely, JuliaCarely. L-E-Y. Forgot how to spell my name.
At Dua Casey, DuaKaissi, on the Twitter.
That's right. You can find me on Instagram.
That is my intro.
Instagram and Twitter, at Joe K. Braswell, and on Snapchat. I'm snapping like a fool, y'all.
Snapping like a fool.
J. K. Braz. Thank you for joining us. Those are my confessions.
Am I pregnant?
Not sure. You're my chick on the side.
Damn it!
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.